Well, as we have been continuing in the section in Ephesians chapter 6 about the full armor of God, we come to now a interesting point in our dialogue or in our study of this particular passage, in which we have been given the panoply of God. We've been given the exhortation to put on this full armor of God. One of the things I'd like to do this morning, however, is to remember what the thing that we are to be doing over and over again. And it's found really not in the exhortation to put on the full armor of God in verse 11, but it is found the previous verse in which we are exhorted to stand strong in the Lord. And one of the reasons that I bring that up is because we have a section now that we're going to be going to that several commentators are going to come in and say, well, I don't know quite where this fit, because it's not a breastplate, it's not a helmet, it's not a belt, it's not a it's not the shoes that I wear, it's not what I wear on my shins. All right, it's not the sword that I carry. It's none of those pieces of armor. And so one of the things that's taking place is that we must be finding a new section, because we're no longer talking about all of these pieces of the armor, in the case of the Apostle Paul, of the Roman soldier. And so one of the things that we need to do is look to the Word for how this fits in. And we need to be reminded that is the imperative of this section, to stand firm or stand strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. That's the thing that is the exhortation. It's the one that is the continual present tense exhortation. Now, present tense, of course, you'll remember, is the one that we need to continually be doing over and over and over again. So what we pray for this rain, that it be in the present tense, not in the aorist tense, that we get a few drops and then it goes, but it would continue and continue. And that's the thing, again, that the Apostle Paul, as he's exhorting the Ephesian believers, he's exhorting them to live their lives in the present in this way, remembering that everything that they're doing now has got a whole dimension that's going on, interposed on top of it, interceding into it, infiltrating everything that we do. And again, to use the military metaphor, we've got trouble in the camp. We have those who have infiltrated into our lines. We have those who have come through and are standing right next to us, causing us problems, defeating us from within, and not something that I look out onto the hill and prepare for the onslaught. That's one of the things that the Apostle Paul says, is that our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but we are to resist against the schemes of the devil, against those things that are sitting here right in being my best friend. And in doing that, we see that this is what our battle is. And so he has given us this in verse 10, this exhortation to continue being strong in the Lord. And then he gives a whole bunch of exhortations in one sense that talk about what has been done for us. Now again, this is the theme of all of Ephesians. You know, this is what God's done for you, all of these things. Now you have the responsibility for living your life. Just like in Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10. It says, by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest any should boast. And now you should be doing what? What is it to say in Ephesians 2:10? That we are to do the good works that God has prepared. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to be doing the good works that He's been preparing us for. And so we see once again this whole theme. God has done all of these things for you to make you his child, redeemed, saved, bought by a price, put into the family of God. Now, what you need to do is live that way. And that's what we've seen in the last three or four chapters, four, five, and six. All right, and so we see, one time, put on the full armor of God. Take up, stand firm, having girded ourselves, having put on the breastplate, having shod the feet, having taken up the shield of faith, and so on, having, all right, taken up the helmet and the sword. Now, all of these things, then, if that's what God has done for us, is that he has prepared us for this struggle. And you remember that that word is not battle as in life and death, but struggle as in the wrestling match. It's kind of the mixed metaphor that the Apostle Paul does. He does the weapons of warfare and the preparation for warfare, and then when he talks about what they're going to be doing, he uses the illustration of a wrestling match that's going to be over and over and continuing to get on top of you. And so we see now, as we go into our verse this morning in verse 18, which says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, or making supplication for all the saints. And again, you'll notice that the word order is a little bit different from the ESV. The ESV then continues the same thing in taking the verb and putting it at what we're supposed to be doing. But there you'll notice that we have stopped being a having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having taken up all of these things. Now we're starting to see that the exhortation that we have is praying, and ESV translates this, keeping alert, to keep alert and to be praying. And again, here the Apostle Paul shifts from the aorist tense when he's talking about the armor of God to now the present tense in which he's talking about how to live your life since you have this armor. You see how that is? He's not telling us every day we should be putting on the armor of God. He says you have the full armor of God. You have it on. You have all of these things, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the sword of truth, which is the word of God, the helmet of salvation. You have all of these things. Now he's saying, here's what you need to be doing. You need to be using them. And how does he say to use them? With prayer and alertness. Now, one of the things that we see, again, as I had alluded to, is that we have a section now that you have probably half dozen different ways that different commentators are going to be looking at that. One of those, of course, I have already mentioned, that since we are no longer talking about the armory, we are now talking about something he has taken a shift from that theme, and he has gone to saying, okay, I'm getting ready to wrap up my epistle here. I only have a few more verses left, and so this is the last thing I want you to live for, and that is I want you to be praying and be on the alert. Now, that seems to make the context, all right, since it doesn't have that, all right, since he is doing this conclusion. But at the same time, one of the things that, again, as we look at the way that he has structured this last section, it fits very well with the context of what we saw in verse 10, that we are to be standing firm, we are to be praying, we are to be on the alert. Now, another one is that there are commentators that seem to be saying, it says, okay, well, this is just one more piece of the armor of God. We've talked about the helmet. We've talked about the sword. We've talked about the breastplate, the belt, the feet, and so on. This is now just one more thing. Well, of course, there's a problem with that understanding of this text. Because every other one of those uses the piece of the Roman armor and then the application of what that piece of armor does or is in our spiritual life. And so here we see the context of praying. Not only that, but when we look at, as we have mentioned, the verb tense, all of the pieces of armor that we have put on, and now all of a sudden we are to be praying, to be continually on the alert, that is not making sense. Third thing that we can see is that since this follows directly from the immediate context of the helmet of salvation and proclaiming the word of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that this is an application of those two things, the prayer and the petition at all times, with this view to be on the alert with all perseverance and prayer for all the saints. That this is a context of looking at salvation and the speaking of the word of God. Again, some of our charismatic brethren who are looking at this context of speaking the word of God see that that is what we're doing, speaking the word of the sword of the Spirit, and we're doing that when we pray, and we're doing that when we stay on the alert. And oh, by the way, we're doing that when we are continuing to make sure that we are saved. Now, that's all of a sudden, until we got to that last part, there's something that we would look at and say, doesn't sound quite right. Because the context of being in continual prayer for our salvation is not something that the Bible seems to be teaching about, does it? The Bible seems to be teaching that we have been saved. We are, as the Apostle Paul had said in chapter 2, we are saved by grace, through faith, and that not of ourselves. Of course, the book of John. Jesus talks to us about being in the Father's hand, and no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. And so to understand this context of prayer and supplication and being on the alert as applying to the direct context, I think would be a stretch as to what this passage is teaching. Rather, what I said just a few minutes ago, we should be looking at this as something that fits exactly into the context of this putting on the full armor of God and going back into the very context and seeing that from verse 10, 6:10, all the way to 6:20, all of those aorist verbs or those past tense, those one-time verbs all go together, and there are three present tense verbs that go together. So what I'd like to do is take a look at this passage and just simply ask ourselves the question, well, how can they go together? One is all the way up in verse 10, and the other one's down here in verse 18. And so what I would suggest that we do then is take this whole section of the full armor of God, understanding that that, once again, is what the Apostle Paul has done, is that he comes in and exhorts us and says, this is what God has done for you. And now let's look at what the exhortation, the continuing exhortations are. Let me just read verse 10, followed immediately by verse 18. All right? Verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints and also for me. Now, do you see how easily and how well those concepts fit together? Is that this is how we are to be strong in the Lord by doing what? By praying and being alert. And so these are the things that now are the exhortation that we have. we get all wrapped up into saying that you need to every day be putting on this full armor. No, this full armor is what's allowing you to be prepared for battle. And now as we look at it, we can see that I am prepared for battle. What is the means that I am going to need to be doing in order to be doing this struggle against spiritual forces? And so what we see, this concept of prayer and being alert, is how we are going to be doing the struggle in the spiritual places as we look at these things. You go, Mary, I'll slide in here. See how easy these wheels make it. Yes, ma'am. And so let's take a look at that. In other words, the continual strength in the Lord is linked with what two things? What is the two things that being strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, what are they linked with? Prayer and perseverance and alertness. All right? So let's take a look at these two things that we see in verse 18. The first thing that we're to see is that the exhortation is that we pray at all times. Now, one of the things that we see up in verse 10 is that we see what is called an imperative, a command, be strong. It's a command of being as opposed to a command of doing. Do you see that? Be strong in the Lord, not exercise the strength. We are to be strong. Well, here we have one that is not quite in the same as in the same imperative form, because what we have is what's called a participle. And so, if you have a translation as you see in the in ESV in verse 18, that we are to be praying at all times. Or, as we want to translate that a little bit different, as we are praying, then that would be a good understanding of how it is that we're to understand these contexts. As we are praying, as we are keeping alert. In other words, what's taking place here is that we're now looking at, again, if we're looking at the soldier, he's fully clad, he's got his helmet, he's got his full armor on. What is he to be doing? That's the whole context of what we see here. He is to be doing prayer. What's he got in his favor? He's got his entire wardrobe, could we say, that is there. He has got his breastplate of righteousness. So what's he to be doing? He is to be praying and keeping alert. He has the sword of the Spirit. So what's he to be doing? Praying and keeping alert. He has the helmet of salvation, so what's he to be doing? Praying and keeping alert. He has truth. He has his feet shod with the gospel of peace, so what's he to be doing? Praying and keeping alert. As he is doing these things, then what is he fulfilling in verse 10? He is fulfilling the requirement to be strong in the Lord. And interestingly enough, that's exactly what we see. Well, prayer then, we remember that James talks to us and he tells us that what does prayer accomplish? Well, the effectual prayers of the righteous man accomplish what? Accomplish much. And this is one of those things that the Apostle Paul, he's not taken by this. It's not a God who, you know, he's not talking about a God who is pacing back and forth and says, oh, gee, I wish Max would get on the stick and pray because my hands are tied without his prayers. That's not one of the things that we're talking about. Because God, in his sovereign, providential rule over all of creation, is putting these things into our hands so that we can participate, so that we can do these things. I'd like you to look at an example that all three of these contexts, interestingly enough, just happen to be all at the same place, at the same time, in the teachings of none other than Jesus Christ himself. Look at the Gospel of Luke. Turn over to Luke in chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Towards the end, Jesus tells a parable of the fig tree in verse 29 of Luke 21. He says, "Behold the fig tree of all the trees. Soon as it's put forth leaves, you see and you know that yourself that summer is now near." As soon as you see the leaves on the fig tree. "And even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. For I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things are taking place." Now, what are all these things that he's talking about? Well, all of these things are talking about the coming of the kingdom, the thing that Jesus Christ is going to implement, the kingdom of God on earth. By the way, I know my good dispensationalist friends will say that this generation, they'll say, "Well, this race of Homo sapiens, that's what it's talking about." Well, Luke chapter 9, it says, "Those of you who are alive and standing here will not die until the kingdom of God comes." And so one of the things that we see is that heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my words will not pass away. And here's our verse that I'd like to look at, verse 34 and following. "Be on guard that your hearts not be weighted down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the worries of this life. For that day will come like a trap. It will come like those who dwell in the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you might have strength to escape from all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of God." Guess what we have right here in this one verse? All four of these things. Praying, being on alert, doing what else? Praying, being on alert, getting strength, and standing. Standing firm is exactly what we see. I'm not altogether sure that the Apostle Paul was not thinking about these very teachings when he was giving the exhortation about the things that are taking place as we do spiritual warfare. Now again, the whole context is what we see there. The context is that we are to be on guard. Well, what is the soldier to be doing once he has his armor on? He is to be on guard, on patrol. And we're going to talk about this concept of being alert here in just a minute. But we're seeing there that we see that the alertness, the praying, in order that we might have strength. Now, just so that we'll understand our context, look back up in verse 34 there of Luke 21. Well, this doesn't apply to me. This doesn't apply to me. It's talking about those who are weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness. Except for one little thing. What's the next thing that he just slides in there? Right next to dissipation and drunkenness, what does he talk to us about? Being worried about the things of this world. Being worried about the things of this life. Brothers and sisters, particularly those of my brothers and sisters here who are just absolutely thinking that dissipation, drunkenness, and evil drug dealing and all this other stuff. What is the Apostle Paul through Luke, right? Isn't Luke the one who spent most of his time learning his theology from the Apostle Paul? Talking about what it is that we need to be on the alert against. Worry about things in this life. One of the things that we have been talking about at our men's prayer breakfast, you know, worried about as men, worried about the finances of our family. Yes, we need to be concerned. We need to be diligent about those. We don't need to be slacking in that regard. But we don't need to simply say, Lord, this problem is too big for you. There is no problem that is too big for the Lord. We have health issues here in Day Spring. We have major health issues that are happening among many of our Day Springers. But God has that firmly in control. But the same thing that's taken place, what is the exhortation of the Apostle Paul? Well, if God has those firmly under control, then I can sit back and I can watch the football game. I don't need to be worried about these things. No, what's the exhortation there in Luke 21, 36? Be on guard, keep alert at all times, doing what? Praying, in order that you may have the strength. In this case, he's talking about to escape the things that are about to take place. Now, just for the context, to fulfill this, what's about to take place? What's the thing that's about to take place? Everything that the Jewish nation has known for the last 1,500 years is about to come crashing to an end. These things are about to take place. There are those who are standing there that are going to be witnesses. Remember when they were coming in as they were leaving the temple as they were getting ready to go to the Mount of Gethsemane. He says, Lord, look at this wonderful building that Herod has built for the people of Israel, this wonderful temple. He says, I tell you, these stones will not be standing one upon another when the Son of Man comes. And that happened in just a few years. And those are the kinds of things that he was praying for. But that doesn't mean that doesn't happen. Since that happened many, many years ago, it means it doesn't happen for us, because for sure he included those kinds of things that I need to be on guard against. The worries of this life. The worries of life. Now, at the same time, we see this concept of being alert is something that is a negative word. Being alert is a negative word. Well, I thought being alert was as positive as you could get. Well, the word itself is to be not asleep. And that's what the context means. If I'm, again, using the military illustration the Apostle Paul is using there in Ephesians 6, if I am the soldier who is on guard, who is, while everyone else is sleeping, what is my role? To be not asleep. To be alert. To be constantly looking around. Now, this even goes even further. To be attentive. To be ready. To be not just standing there, just simply saying, okay, stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. No. What did those who were on guard do? They looked all around, everywhere, for the enemy trying to infiltrate. They were being, the word is circumspect, looking all around to make sure that they're doing. Now, what's the exhortation that we have from the Apostle Paul? Well, here in Luke, Jesus records that he says that you need to be alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength. All right, I tell you what, while we're in Luke, turn over just a page over to the next chapter. Because here we can see this was prior to, Jesus' teaching about the fig tree was prior to what happened in Luke 22, which is the Last Supper, all right, and so on. In Luke 22, in verses 45 and 46, they have changed places. It is now the next day, or it could be very much that evening, in which, guess what the disciples are doing? They have learned well from what Jesus was teaching them, to stay alert, praying at all times. And in verse 45, what do we see happening? That Jesus was praying, verse 44, praying and fervently His sweat was like drops of blood falling down on the ground. And when he arose from prayer, he came to his disciples and found that they were doing what? They were sleeping. They were doing just exactly the opposite of what that word being alert is. They were sleeping while Jesus was praying. And he says, why are you sleeping? Rise and... Now here's the context again. What's he talking about? How do you be alert there in verse 46 of Luke 22? Pray that you might not enter into temptation. So once again, the Apostle Paul puts all of these things that this soldier who is equipped with the full armor of God is to be doing. He is to be alert. And how is he to be alert? He is to be praying to the end that temptation not be occurring. In other words, this is the context of that soldier who is on guard. Now, we have various translations. Most of your modern translations, ESV, keep alert. NIV, be alert. New American Standard, be on alert. Stay alert. All of the old translations, the old King James, Wycliffe's original translation, talked about exactly what that was. Because when you either are asleep or you are awake, all right? And so we see that that context is that we are waking. And again, I just love Wycliffe. It says, waking in all of your busyness. Not business, but your busyness. Actually spells it with a B-U-S-Y-ness. Busyness. In other words, as you're scurrying around doing all those things, sound asleep. Do we do that? As we're sound asleep spiritually because we're so busy. And what Wycliffe has really seized on there is that when we are so busy with our lives, we need to be not asleep, but we need to be alert while we are so busy. And if you have that problem, boy, I know I do. I'm just so busy that I don't have time to do what's important because I'm just too busy doing things. And that is what we see a lot in our context here. And so we see the context of our soldier. The context of our soldier. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Because we could take this and make the application to almost every single one of these pieces of armor. But the thing is that the pieces of armor, while they are significant in and of themselves, this is not what the apostle is telling them to put on. He says, all right, now put on this one and this one, and boy, it'd be great if you could put on these two also. What is the exhortation that we have in verse 11? To put on every bit of it. And that's the thing that we've got to remember. We live our lives, as we had said a couple of weeks earlier, by the gospel of peace. It is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that enables us as believers to live on a day-to-day basis. And not only that, when you apply that to what we've talked, you know, what we saw that Luke was writing back in Luke, not being tempted, not being busy with the things, worried about the things of this life. Now, as we look at that, there's one more thing that we take a look at, and that is not one thing, but four things. And these are something that is very interesting in the way that the Apostle Paul talks about these two verbs, to pray and to be alert. All right? And they're basically the who, what, where, when, why, how of all of this context of being on alert and praying. These things that we see over and over go together. Be on alert and be praying. First thing that we see is actually the first thing in the Greek text, and that is with all prayer and petition. Now, these are two very, very similar words. All right. In fact, if you'll flip over one page from Ephesians 6 over to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 4, 3 and 4, I thank God in my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy, all right, in every prayer of mine, for you, making my prayer with joy. Those two words for prayer are actually our second word here, and that is the word that is translated petition, all right, or in some cases, supplication, because these are two different words. First one is just the general word for approaching God, approaching the one who has control, approaching the one who is able to do these things. I am the one who is not capable of doing it of myself. You are the one who have the ability. This is called prayer. That is what we're doing every time we pray. We're going to the one who is going to give us the strength. Again, back up to verse 10. Be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. And so as we look at that then, we see these two words, one the general word, and the other word, supplication, entreaty. My New American Standard translates that petition. That is where we go not just specifically and ask generally of God, but we ask specifically because of a need, because there is something that is a requirement, a wanting, a need that needs to be filled. And then as a result, asking for that need to be accomplished. Now, once again, this is one of the things that we see over and above that is a very important part of prayer, but in some cases, we tend to think that's what it is that prayer is all about. It's coming in and asking God for things I need. But one of the things that we're going to see in this, in all prayer and in all supplication or all entreaties or in all petitions, that we look, in fact, it would not be inappropriate, look at the very end of verse 18. Because here we see that same word again, the petitions or supplications. Who is that petition or supplication to be made for? That's our second all. All the saints. Well, wait a minute. I'm the one who's standing here on guard. I'm the soldier who is here with my armor on. I'm the one who's on sentry. Everyone else is asleep. I need to be praying for me. But the Apostle Paul says, that's not what spiritual warfare is all about. What's he spent the whole book of Ephesians talking about? The body of Christ. Think about someone other than yourself. Think about how you can make an implication and an impact in all of the saints' lives. And so we see that we're to make all petition and supplication, supplication to all of the saints. And then as we look a little bit further, let's go back to what is actually, I have as the second, all right, but that's okay. We're to pray at all times in the Spirit. Well, that's not an exhortation to say, well, there's sometimes you pray that you're not in the Spirit and sometimes you pray you are in the Spirit. The primary emphasis here is that you're to pray at all times. Now, this is not the word for, okay, we've got our five different times of the day that I'm to be praying. Have you ever known people like that? In fact, we've got a whole Islam is based around that, isn't it? There are certain times of the day that you're to be praying. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about in all occasions, in all opportunities, in all times that there is a need, which is when? At all times, there is this. Now, how does the Apostle Paul talk to the Thessalonian believers? He says, let's just not be worried about that. When should you pray? Pray continually. at all times. That's what the circumstance is. Now, at the same time, I have to watch my times. At the same time, we need to remember that God gives us particular circumstances to be in prayer for. Does he not? Has he given us health opportunities for some of our day springers to be in particular prayer for? Absolutely. Has he brought people into your life? Maybe just this week, maybe just this day, that you need to be in prayer for? Saints that you need to be interceding for? Again, this is one of those situations. It's not that we are not to pray for things that we see as need, but overall, over and above all, we see that this concept of spiritual warfare is most effectively done when we are going out of ourselves and being concerned for others. What are the two great commandments of the new covenant? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul, and do what? Treat your neighbor as yourself. We're real good about doing ourselves, but it's our neighbor that we have the problem with. And so we see that we're to do it at all times. We're to do it in the Spirit, remembering that prayer is to God, but at the same time, it is something that the Spirit must indwell us in order to be praying, to be speaking to God in a way that God needs to be spoken to. It is not the swagger that we come before the throne of God because we have the knowledge that we are righteous. It is in the Spirit that we're to come before God, being those who pray and come before God. I think a great picture of this is Moses when he was standing before the burning bush. Remember what God told Moses to do? Just take off your shoes, hide your face as you approach the living God. But yet Moses, in his own way, says, no, not going to do it, can't do it. He says, no, we are to come before God. We are to seek his face. We're to seek his face. And those are things that we see as we're doing this. And as we come before God, what are we doing? We're doing spiritual battle. We're struggling against forces as we seek God. The more we seek God, the greater God's glory, the greater God's glory, the greater the forces of darkness are expelled. And so we see as these are things that we're doing, that God is going to be doing this. Now, the last thing I'd like to do, we've talked about all the saints. This one is really linked more with the concept of being alert. New American Standard says, with all perseverance and with all perseverance and petition. To that end, keep on the alert. With all perseverance, making supplication to all the saints. This little word that ESV translates in or to that end, New American Standard, with this. The context there, because it uses the interesting word, you know, one of those things, remember we talked about being in something, it's kind of you're on the outside looking in. But as we are praying at all times in the Spirit, the word really could be translated and into this. In other words, going into this praying at all times in the Spirit, we are to be doing our second verb, keeping on the alert. As we go into this, as we are doing that, we can be circumspect. Now, the thing that we see there, this concept that we are to be doing the fourth of our alls here, we've talked about praying at all times in the Spirit, praying with all prayer and supplication for all of the saints, we are to be keeping alert with all perseverance. Perseverance is that concept that we are continually devoting ourselves. Remember what took place when Jesus rose from the dead. What were the apostles doing? Well, we're almost out. I'm not going to have you go there in Acts chapter 1. And the saints were continually devoting themselves to prayer. You remember that verse in Acts 1? It's actually in verse 14. They were continually devoting themselves. That's this word for perseverance. Continually devoting. What had just taken place? Their leader had been crucified. He'd been risen again, but then he had departed from them. But what were they doing? Continually devoting themselves to prayer. After Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came, and came in a mighty and an awesome way among those believers, as Peter was proclaiming the Word of God, and there were new converts coming in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Very familiar, this verse to us here at Dayspring. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so here we see this concept, persevering. Persevering kind of has the context of, you know, I'm just going to stand here, and I'm going to take it, and I'm just going to persevere through this trial, and I'm just going to hunker down until I know sooner or later it's going to be over with, and then I can relax and go ahead and do my business. But as we have the understanding of what the apostles were doing, what the disciples were doing right after Pentecost, that they were continually devoting themselves. Acts chapter 6, we see the same thing, that when the work got too much and they had to appoint deacons, the elders said, the reason that we need to appoint deacons to be able to take care of those things so that we will persevere to prayer and the ministry of the Word, to continually devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And so here's what we have. Now let's look back at Ephesians 6 and see what we're talking about. With a view of praying at all times in the Spirit, with a view towards this, we need to be alert. We need to continually be circumspect. We need to be that one soldier who is out on the hill. While everyone else is sleeping, we need to be that one person who is scanning the countryside looking for any hints that the enemy might try and be sneaking up on me. We need to be on the alert with devotion, continued devotion, perseverance, and we need to be persevering to do what? To pray for our saints, to pray for the fellow saints. That's what we need to be devoting ourselves to do, according to what the Apostle Paul is saying. And so what have we said here? What have we seen? The context of the full armor of God is to enable us to do prayer in a realm that we don't even see the results in. Where is that? In the spiritual realm, in the forces of darkness. Now, good Calvinist, if you have never wrestled with the question, well, if you believe that, if you believe that God is sovereign, that he's just going to do whatever he does, why preach? Why pray? The biggest thing is what it says right here, because by praying, we have an impact in worlds that we can't even see. Are we going to see the results in this life? Absolutely. Praise the Lord that he gets us a little bit of a hint from time to time, a little bit of help. We saw that today. We've been praying for months that God would send us some rain. And what took place? God has sent rain. Well, brothers and sisters, I pray that he would send rain in an area that I can't even see. that he would send rain into the spiritual dimensions of our lives, that he would cause growth in that, that we would be able to see someday in which we can see those things, the result of what it was of being faithful in prayer at all times for all circumstances. Not being overwhelmed by the worries and the concerns of this life, but to be on the alert and to be prepared that we might be strong in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you have done so much for us in this life. Lord, I pray that you would give us all a fresh apprehension of doing battle in a realm that we can't even see, of fighting against forces of darkness, forces that are opposed to you, forces that are interested in one thing and one thing only, and that is bringing discredit on the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, our prayer this morning is that you would hear us, that you enable us to be steadfast, to be praying at all times with all prayer and supplication for all of the saints, and to be on the alert, to be alert for the enemy as he lurks around seeking whom he may devour. Be with us now as we come into your throne room and give you worship, as we join with the saints of all times, with the saints of the Reformation and the saints of the early church, with the saints, Lord, of the nation of Israel before Jesus even came, as we gather together this morning and give you honor and glory. Be with us and bless us now in your holy name. Amen.